Yeah, so we are going to look today at signs of Jesus coming and the end, and we are going to focus on the study of Matthew chapter 24. And ideally, when we look at the end times, it's quite a big topic, and I can point you, last year we did a study in the morning of almost 21 morning sessions of the end times. So I don't think we'll be able to cover all that today, but today we'll focus on Matthew 24 and just look at the study on it, and maybe I'll direct you to those messages and you can be able to look at that and have a more in-depth study. But anyway, today as we start on the study of the end times, we are going to ask ourselves, and maybe I'll open this up. When we say Jesus coming, what does Jesus coming mean to us? And then also, what does the end mean to us? Maybe I'll ask this question. When you tell someone Jesus is coming back, what did it mean to us, or also what did it mean to the disciples? And maybe it's something that we've ever thought about or not, but what does it mean when we say this, the coming of Christ? Jesus coming or Jesus' second coming? Are there two comings? Are there three comings? What do you think? For the Bible scholars and for those who want to try, maybe let me throw it to Scotch. Scotch, when you say Jesus coming, what does that mean?
Praise the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I believe that Jesus is coming, and it is he will come first during the rapture, and then that time he will just be in the sky, and then we shall meet him. And I believe that will be an awesome time where the church will be with Christ for a period of time. And again, it will be a very hard time for those who are going to remain behind. But I believe it's just those moments that we are waiting for, just to be with Christ, to come out of this hassle that we are having today and just being in his presence. Yeah.
Excellent. So from what I hear from you, he will come twice. That means he will come during the rapture and then he will come during the final judgment. Okay, who has anything different from that? Usually when we say the second coming of Christ, do we refer to the rapture or do we refer to his coming judgment? Roslida, these are conch questions first to just establish a base. let me hear from you what you think.
This is where we're saying let's have the PowerPoints so we could see the answers. Yes. I think commonly when we are talking about second coming, we're talking in reference to the end of life as we know it, referring to a state where Jesus cannot be there and we will have the world the way it is.
Okay.
So when he comes, there will be a change in that situation where we will not have the world as we know it.
Okay.
Yeah, and the rapture for me, I believe that to be a transformation of the way we know it, but not completely. It does not disappear. It's still there. But some people are taken away in the twinkling of an eye.
Some people are taken away, and some people are left behind.
Some people are left behind.
Okay. Interesting. No, it's the reason why I ask, because at times we might think we are speaking of the same thing, but then I've realized that through scriptures you're able to see that, first of all, Jesus told his disciples that he will come to them, that and they will come through the Holy Spirit. So he will not leave them as orphans, he will come to them. So you could consider, some people will say, no, he already came back as the Holy Spirit, you understand? Then there's also the second coming, or rather what we call the rapture, which ideally is when we believe that Jesus will come. He will come in the air, and he will meet the believers. The dead in Christ will first rise, and they will meet him in the air, and then he will go back with the believers in the air, and that will be at the point where we call the mid-tribulation period, which is the 3.5 years of the 7 years, and after that we'll start the great tribulation. So there'll be a tribulation period, which is 3.5 years, the time when the Antichrist will appear and be a man of peace, and then after that, when Christ comes for the rapture, then he will take the church, and then now there'll be now that great tribulation period where we will see some of the things that happen. But then, when we say the second coming of Christ, what we often refer to is actually the coming judgment, where he comes as king and where he conquers the Antichrist and he is able to establish the millennial reign on the earth, the 1,000 years. Now, I just wanted us to have that overall timeline, but today we'll just focus on the signs of Jesus coming, which are, what are the things that we are seeing in our current generation? What are we seeing in our times? What are the things that Jesus told us to watch out for his coming, that will happen before he comes, and such that we can be alert and we can be sensitive to the coming of the Lord. Now that's what we're saying. We're going to look at the study of Matthew chapter 24, and we're going to read. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down.' Now, as he sat on Mount Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" Now, if we take a pause there, we will see that Jesus was speaking of the temple, and they went and they saw the temple. And when they saw the buildings of the temple, Jesus told them one thing, that every stone that is being used to build this temple, and you can remember that the temple was quite magnificent, not one stone will be left upon another, and everything shall be thrown down. And then he says, and then the disciples asked him privately. So this was a private instruction. This is something that you have to pick out, that it was a private instruction that was for disciples. And then they asked him, "Master, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming?" So now that's why I say the Bible study is to answer the question, what are the signs of the coming of Christ, and what is the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? That means there are two things that are being mentioned. There's a part of his coming, and there's a part of the end of the age. Now, the first thing that we'll see is that Jesus describes that there will be the destruction of the temple. And the reason why I put it here is such that we can pick it, because you'll find there are many signs that are littered in Matthew 24. So the first sign that we see is the destruction of the temple. And he was talking about the temple that was in Jerusalem, that this will be destroyed. Now, let us continue in the reading. Verse 4, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.'" Take that word, "the end is not yet." Verse 7, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences," that means diseases, "and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows," or King James puts it as the beginning of birth pains. Now, I will open it up and ask us the question, what signs can we see that Jesus speaks? These are signs that are birthing the end. That means they are coming before the end. What are the signs that are obvious from these verses that we read? This is open to anyone who can see the signs from the verses. Verse 4 to 8, what signs do we see? We've already seen in the first three verses, we saw the destruction of the temple. What signs can you pick from these verses that we have read? Matthew 24, 4 to 8. Kalal, what signs are you seeing?
Wars and rumors of wars.
Sorry? Wars and rumors of war. Okay, someone else can.
I said from the verses, there's wars.
Okay, good. Okay, wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom.
There will be deception.
There will be deception. Good one. So many will come and say they are the Christ. So there will be a great deception. Someone else. And I highlighted them for you to see.
I know some.
Go ahead.
Highlighted them. Yes, I know. Yes, there was a time. I think it was in Kenya. I remember there was somebody walking around saying that he was Jesus. He was dressed, you know, wearing. Yes. So. Oh, yes, I think people coming and saying, you know, they're Jesus. There are people who are, you know, they're part of sects that, you know, that follow people who, you know, sometimes in the end they will commit suicide together and so forth, but they will say that they are the Christ. Yeah, I think there are lots of examples of those. For me, what I then struggle with is that this is continuous. How much is the increase? Of wars or rumors of wars, you know, we are every single day that we are alive, we are getting closer to the end. We're getting closer, you know. But maybe our fixation as human beings is to know exactly the time. We want to know exactly the time, so that we know pinpoint, so that we know if we can eat all our money or how do we prepare exactly. So yes, these are. They are examples of not the examples. They are, you know, they are signs.
Yeah.
But I think the dilemma in interpreting is what is you know, is there an increase? Is that, you know, yes, we're progressing towards the end, but is there an increase? Are we progressing fast? Are we progressing slow? Are we in the middle of you know, the last quarter of the hour or
Okay, those are good questions to pose. Yeah, so I think when you see here, there are quite a number of signs that are highlighted. Now, just to give the definition of a sign, when you say a sign is a manifestation that points to a reality, okay? So the sign is not the actual thing, but it directs you towards the thing. For example, when you see the swelling of the stomach of a woman of reproductive age, then you would ideally think that there is possibility of pregnancy, but it does not necessarily mean that it could be pregnancy. So you have to confirm the sign, and then when you confirm the sign, then you can tell that this person is pregnant, for example. Or in medicine, like in medical science, there are signs that you can tell that this points towards an appendix. Someone is having an appendix or an appendicitis, an inflammation of the appendix. So signs are manifestations that point to a reality that is coming. So now when we are saying these are signs of Jesus coming and signs of the end, the Bible is telling us that when you see these signs happening, it is to remind you and is to point to you that Jesus is coming back and that the end is coming. So once you see there is deception, and it's good that you've given such a good example where you have, I think there was a case where he was even calling himself God. He was calling himself Jehovah Wanyonyi. And, you know, he had, you know, he said he was God. He was being worshipped as God. There are those who believe that they are the true Israel nation. You know, they are the true Israelites. And, you know, the mountain, Mount Kenya, is the true Jerusalem and things like that. So there are various, you know, ideas and people come up with, and they bring all these concepts that it is it they are, you know, that they are the Christ and Christ has come back. Now, wars and rumors of war, I don't think we even need to talk about this because this is happening live as we watch. You know, there's war, there's rumors of war, there's nation rising against nation, there's kingdom against kingdom, and this is something that is going to continue until the end. Now, we say that these are being pointed towards the end. Now, we've also said there's famines, there's pestilences, there's also earthquakes. Famines, you can see, I mean, if you look at the status, there's so many places with hunger, and that's why we have all these organizations providing support. Look at pestilences. Pestilences are like massive, you know, outbreaks of diseases. We've just gone through COVID-19. We are still having another pestilence taking place. We have the scourge of HIV/AIDS. You know, we have various outbreaks that are there. And then earthquakes. How many times are we having earthquakes? And they seem to be increasing and increasing. Apart from earthquakes, you have all these, you know, volcanoes and eruptions. Now, let's carry on with verse 9. The Bible says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. Now, if you look at the previous ending, it said these are just the beginning of sorrows or the beginning of birth pains, and where it spoke about wars and rumors of war, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, and you know, you'll hear of, you know, any deception will come. But then it says now, then the end will come. So now there are certain signs that are nearer to the end. Now, from what we have read, verse 9 to 14, can you point out what are those signs that are nearer to the end based on what we have read? And anyone is free to come in. Okay, maybe let me bring them out. I think we can see them. Number one is tribulations and persecutions against Christians. Jesus was telling his disciples, look here, they are going to deliver you up to trials and you're going to be even killed. That means that towards the end, we are going to see a greater increase in persecution. The reality is persecution is taking place even today and it is going to get worse. And not only with tribulation, with trials, but also unto death, persecution unto death. Then the Bible says that you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. That means that you'll get to a point where there's only one religion that is hated, and that's Christianity. Others, they will say, no, this one is okay, fine, we don't mind. I mean, we all have different ways. But you'll find that there will be a great persecution by all nations for the name of Christ. Then we say that many will be offended. What is the meaning of offense here? It means that many will fall. You understand? They will fall. They will move away from the truth. And not only will they move away from the truth, there will be betrayal of one another and will hate one another. So there's going to be an increase in hatred. There's going to be an increase in the fall. And then also we are told, apart from false Christs, remember the first one was false Christ. Well, who is a false Christ? Someone saying, I'm the Messiah themselves. But now a false prophet is even one who is even preaching or trying to show people false signs. They might not be claiming they're Christ themselves, but they're actually like religious leaders that will be false and lead, and they will rise up and they will deceive many. And then the Bible tells us, and lawlessness will abound. That means sin, there'll be increase in sin. And one of the things that you will see even today, you find that there is more wickedness that is increasing. In fact, it's like every day there are more discoveries of how people are increasing in sin and wickedness, and this is something that we'll see whenever we see towards the end of the world, and that's why the Bible says lawlessness will abound. And unfortunately, it says that the love of many will grow cold. What are we seeing in the world today? We are seeing that there is no more care for other human beings. The nations that used to support others are no longer supporting. Why? Because the love of many has grown cold. That means it's now me, about me. It's about no one cares about the other. It's about what I know, what I want, me, myself, and the love of many will grow cold. But there is a command, or there is a promise that Jesus gives. He says that, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. That means there's a call for endurance for the believers. We as believers are called to endurance. Now, if we endure to the end, we shall be saved. And verse 14 tells us, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. For me, what it tells me is that it is the preaching of the gospel to the world as a witness that actually guarantees the end of the world. You know, as we say, no one knows the day or the hour, but there's something that Jesus said, that this gospel of the kingdom, what is the gospel of the kingdom? Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. We are called to repentance. We are called to believe in Jesus as the Savior, but it does not say that the whole world will believe. It says that repentance, the gospel of the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. That means that when God determines that everyone has heard, now this is very important, that the world has heard that the gospel, Jesus is Lord. And how will they hear? They might hear on the internet, they might hear on the media, they might hear on TV, they might hear in crusades. The moment when God has determined that the gospel has been preached. And that means that for us to speed the coming of the Lord, it is by our involvement in preaching to all the world as a witness. Then the end will come. So it's telling us that the end will come when the gospel has been preached, not necessarily meaning that everyone will believe. Now I'm going to ask the question. We've listed so far almost 11 signs, and I will ask a question. How many of these signs have been fulfilled that Jesus has spoken about, or how many of them are still being fulfilled or are in the process of being fulfilled? Look at destruction of the temple. The temple was already destroyed. That is number one. And that is in, I think it's AD 70. It was already destroyed. Number two, deception. Deception has happened, is happening, and is increasing to happen. Number three, false Christs. False Christs have appeared, are still appearing, and will appear some more. Number four, wars and rumors of war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. This has been there, is happening now, and will continue to happen until the end. Famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. They have happened, they are happening, and will continue to happen. Tribulations and persecution against Christians has happened, is happening, and is going to get worse. Will happen. Number seven, many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Is happening, will happen even worse. False prophets will rise, deceive many. Is happening. Lawlessness, increase in wickedness. Love of many will grow cold. And then the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom. If we can look at every sign that Jesus said, the reality is all these signs have been fulfilled and are currently being fulfilled and will continue being fulfilled. Why? Because the Bible will tell us that not a single word that he has spoken will fall to the ground. And this is why whenever we say the Bible as an accurate book, we can say that almost every prophecy that everything that has been spoken of in scriptures has actually come to pass and is in the process of being fulfilled. When you think about this list, what comes to your heart and what do you think? If there's anyone has a reflection based on this list and the question that also you will ask, following this, what should your response be as a believer? How does it make you feel and what does it make you think of doing or doing differently in your life, looking at these signs that Jesus has spoken about his second coming and also about the end of time coming to pass? Maybe I'll give it a moment for reflection at this point. Of these signs that we have read and we are seeing that have been fulfilled and are being fulfilled, what does it make you feel and how should it change how you live and or how you do life? Maybe that's one way we can ask. If anyone has a response, feel free to come in.
I believe after seeing all these signs and what is happening, it is a call for us to go and reach more and reach more with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's like the time is moving very fast. Things are moving very fast. So it is a wake-up call for every Christian, take his Bible, to go out and to witness to a person.
Amen, amen. It's a wake-up call to go and preach the gospel so that people can know. Mm-hmm. Someone else?
To me, hope I'm audible now.
Yes.
You can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
To me, all the signs are okay, but only the two signs, the false Christ and false prophets. Now it modern is, you know, that the science has made a huge change in the world. So everything we cannot easily believe, we cannot easily understand. And so everything needs to be proved by. So if anyone can come and say, I am the prophet, you have to follow me, or I am the Christ, you have to follow me. The education has, you know, that the maid has changed this world. So that way people will not believe them, I think, because they need the evidence, they need some signs, the sign of themselves, so that they can, like Jesus Christ, what miracle he did that time, kind of that miracle, if they could show then somehow. But again, if any person can give life in the dead people, then the scientists will come, how does it make by giving this life. So I think that would be very tough job for that person to make himself believe that he is Christ or false or prophet.
Okay. No, I got you. Yeah, I think that's a good one. Science has made it more difficult for people to create lies. Huh? Yeah, but anyway, let's just look at some of the things that maybe I listed. One, the Bible tells us, take heed that no one deceives you. That means that there are people that are going to attempt to deceive us. And one of the greatest deceptions that is that Jesus has been saying he's coming. Where is he? Now, God is saying, the word is telling us that take heed that let no one deceives you. Number two, also, we are being told, do not be troubled when you hear of wars and rumors of war. You know, I was just thinking the other day that soon we might even be unable to travel. You know, there are going to be air spaces that will be locked, and there are places where people might not even be able to get a flight. Now, God is telling us that do not be troubled when you hear of wars and rumors of war. Why? Because we know that even if war gets us, we know where we are going. But also beyond that, we know that these are what Jesus told us about. He's coming back. And for us, it should actually be a greater rejoicing that Jesus is coming soon. Number three, we need to expect persecution and death for the sake of Christ. This is a reality, and it is something that we need to always ask ourselves. Are we ready? And in case if it were to happen for the sake of Christ, are we confident of where we are going and that we are going to meet our Lord and that it will be a great joy and a delight? Number four also, we expect hatred from among brothers. You'll find parents might not be happy with you. They might disown you. You might be disowned. You might be disowned by brothers and cousins and all these things. But we are told that make sure that your love does not grow cold, but also, as has been highlighted, that we need to preach the gospel of the kingdom. Now we are in verse 15, and we're going to read up to verse 22. The Bible says, therefore, Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Now, there is something that is called the abomination that causes desolation, or the sacrilegious object that causes desecration, that is mentioned by Daniel and Jesus. We need to answer the question, what was this object that causes desecration, or this abomination that causes desolation? You know, whenever we think of this, we often think of, you know, one specific event, and ideally when we look at history, we'll find that there are actually two events that can link to it. One is Daniel's prediction, which in 168 BC, we see that Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig to Zeus, which is a Greek god, and he sacrificed it on the sacred temple altar. Now, also in AD 70, when the temple was destroyed, Jesus' words were remembered in AD 70, and the Bible and we are told in church history that Titus placed an idol in the site of the burned temple after destroying Jerusalem. Remember the temple, the temple that Jesus told them that none of these stones shall be left upon another. It was found that guy who destroyed it, Titus, he placed an idol in the site where this temple or sacrifices were being held after he had destroyed Jerusalem. But also, apart from looking at this abomination that causes desolation as a one-time event, we must also think of it as a deliberate attempt to mock and deny the reality of God's presence. So there is this spirit of the Antichrist that will always be, it's like an atheist spirit that will deny Jesus. It will say, no, Jesus does not exist. Now, also, in the prophecy of Jesus, we see that in the end times, the Antichrist will set up an image of himself and order everyone to worship it. Now, all these are abominations to God. So you will find that in the end times, and this you can read in 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 4 when it speaks of the man of lawlessness, and also in Revelation 13 verse 14 to 15 where it speaks of the Antichrist, where he will set up an image of himself and he will command everyone to worship him. So this is what, when we read verse 14 to there, it tells us of the abomination that causes desolation. Now we're going to go up to verse 23 to 28, and we're going to read about the coming of the Son of Man. Matthew 24:23. That says, therefore, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered. You know, one of the things that you will hear, especially when people speak of the end time, they will say, no, Jesus has already come. You know, I remember I was speaking with someone who was telling me of his faith. I think they're called the Baha'i faith. They believe that Jesus already came, I don't know, was it in 1800? There's a date they gave, either it was 1800 or 1700, that Jesus already came, and he died in prison, and he wanted to send people the message, and since he has already come, he has already, the end of the world has already happened. So that was the explanation, that Jesus has already come. And the people in, I don't know which Arab world, they saw him. Now, Jesus is saying, when he comes back, if someone tells you that, oh, Jesus is in Jerusalem now, he's there, do not believe them. If they say, oh, Jesus is in America, do not believe. Oh, Jesus is in an inner room, do not believe it. The Bible says, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For it says, for wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. That means it has to be clear for us that every eye will see him. Now, verse 29, it says that immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, what have we said? They will be immediately after the tribulation of all days. So actually, when you look at Matthew chapter 24, it covers the whole scope. So if you really understand Matthew 24, you will see the judgment, you will see the rapture, you will see the coming of the Son of Man, you're going to see the end time. So Matthew 24 actually gives us the whole prediction of the entire timeline. So when we see of the coming of the Son of Man, the Bible tells us the sign of the Son of Man will appear after the days of tribulation. In the days of tribulation, what do we see? We see that the sun will be darkened, the moon will go dark, the stars will fall from heaven. And if you study the book of Revelation, you're going to see there are seven seals, there are seven trumpets, there are seven bowls of judgment. All these signs are there where, you know, the sun will turn dark, where a star will fall from the sky and turn to the water and it will be bitter, where, you know, there will all this judgment, all these wars, all these, you know, insects that will come, this locust that have, you know, teeth of iron that will be biting scorpions, you know, the stings of scorpions, and all this will be judgments that will be taking place during the Great Tribulation. So God is telling us that the sign of the Son of Man will come. And even this sign of the Son of Man was already prophesied in Daniel chapter 7. And this you can read in Daniel 7 verse 13 to 14. Daniel says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting kingdom which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Now in Revelation 11 verse 15 to 16 says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshipped him. So we see the kingdom, when he is coming, when the second coming of the Lord comes, he comes in the majesty of his kingdom, and every kingdom shall be under him. Now, there's also another interesting component of Matthew 24, which is the parable of the fig tree. Matthew 24:32-35. It says, "Now, learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Now, whenever the scriptures speak of the fig tree, now when that's what Jesus is saying, learn this parable from the fig tree. The fig tree is actually used to represent the nation of Israel. When in scriptures, whenever it speaks of the fig tree, and you can think of how Paul speaks of you, we are wild olive shoots that we are cut and we are engrafted into the fig tree. Now, when the fig tree, it often refers to the nation of Israel. Now, by this parable, it says that when the branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, the budding of the fig tree, then you will know that the summer is near. Now, this speaks of when Israel is gathered as a nation together. Remember, when Israel was destroyed in AD 70, it got lost as a nation. But it was only, I think, is it 1947, where the nation of Israel came again. Now, when the nation of Israel came again, what we see is that God is telling us that when you see that fig tree budding again, when the nation of Israel comes again, know that the end is near. Now that Israel has come back as a nation, I know, yes, there are wars and wanting to destroy it, but it is to tell us that the end is near. Now, Jesus saying, "Assuredly, I tell you, by no means this generation will not pass away until all these things take place." Now, there are those that actually say that the moment you see Jesus has come back, there's only going to be one, no, sorry, when Israel has come back as a nation, there's only going to be one generation until the end comes. That means their estimate is from that time when Israel formed as a nation, it will be one generation of a people and then the end will come. So based on their calculations, they actually believe that the end is very near, and some estimate it at 2030, but that one we will see from the scriptures that no one can know the end, when the end will come. Now, but what we can be sure, that we can be certain of Jesus's truth, that his words are reliable, that heaven and earth will pass away, but by no means will my words pass away. Now, why is it important that Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour? Matthew 24 verse 36 to 44. "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken away and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left." Verse 42. "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and have not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." What are the things that we see in the day of Noah? In the day of Noah, just like it is today, the world was full of wickedness, but the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. As believers who have put our faith in Jesus, I can assure you, even in the world full of wickedness, when we put our faith in Christ, we find grace, we find favor in the eyes of the Lord. We find mercy in the eyes of the Lord. As in the days of Noah, men were eating and drinking and marrying. That means life was moving on as normal. Today also, people are eating and drinking and living life as normal. They don't see like anything can happen, that the world can end. In the times of Noah, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and he spoke of even what was an impossibility. He was telling them, look here, people, water is going to come from the sky. That time, rain had never fallen from the sky. Water only will come from the ground. But he was telling them that water, rain is going to come from the sky and is going to destroy the whole world. Repent. Likewise, today in our times, we preach to people. We'll tell them Jesus is coming. He's going to come in the sky, from the sky, and he's going to take away the believers. We are going to be raptured. Those that will be ready will be taken. Those that will not be ready will be left behind. It looks like an impossibility. It looks like madness. Even to Noah, he sounded like a madman those days when he was preaching. But you see, they did not know when the rain will come. Likewise, too, in our time today, we do not know the time when Jesus will come. As it was in the time of Noah, only Noah and seven of his family members and the animals which God had saved entered the ark. And when the ark was closed, the Bible says God shut them in. That means that door could only be opened by God, because Noah did not close himself from the inside. Likewise also, when the rapture takes place, when the Son of Man comes back and he closes the door to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you cannot enter after that. That door will be locked. We only have one chance to enter. And just as it was in the days of Noah, it was too late to rescue those who did not believe. Likewise today, if you don't believe in Christ, it will be too late. God destroyed the wicked world, but Noah and his family were saved. Even today, even though there is increase in wickedness and lawlessness, this world will be destroyed, but every believer will be saved. Now to finish that chapter, verse 45 to 51, the Bible says, who then is a faithful and a wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at that hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him into two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, what did the wise servant do? The wise servant was faithful. He gave the servants food in due season. He was faithful and wise. And when the master came, he found him doing what the master had asked him to do. What has God asked us to do on the earth? What are the responsibilities that God has given us as believers? Will the master find us doing it? Or will we become like that evil servant who will say, my master has delayed in coming. This Jesus said he is coming. Up to now he has not yet come. And we sleep, eat, and drink with the drunkards. The Bible says, the master will come when that servant is not aware. So what are our applications today? And these are questions I'm going to ask us, and I pray that you shall reflect on them. Number one, do you have an understanding of the times we live in? And not just the knowledge to say, we know that Jesus is coming back. But have you taken time to look at the scriptures to really ask ourselves, what are these signs? Do we have understanding that we are in the end times? That the end is just at the corner. That even right now, that even while we are just speaking like now, Jesus might come back. And then we leave some people who are not born again on the online. And others who are born again go. Oh, Jesus might come when we are asleep. And two people are sleeping on the same bed. One is taken, the other is left behind. Or Jesus might come when we are in the office or on a plane, and then pilots are taken and the plane is left flying on its own. The other question is, now that we have understanding that Jesus is coming, the signs are clear. How ready are you and me for the second coming of Jesus and for the end of time? Are we ready that he can come anytime? Are our hearts ready? Have we put our faith in Christ that he is our salvation? It is only him that will take us to heaven. Are we living a life that reflects people who have believed? And the third question I will ask us is, what practical changes do you intend to make on how you live? What practical changes do you intend to make on how you live in light of the teaching, in light of the understanding that any time the end will come? Then a fourth question I will ask us is, how can we be like Noah to rescue a world that is oblivious of Christ's return, a world that is ignoring, a world that does not care? How can we be like Noah, still preachers of righteousness? And lastly, I will ask, are we ready for the final judgment when we shall come before the Son of Man? Or shall we be those who will mourn and weep and be outside gnashing our teeth? These are questions that the Lord is asking us. And even as we come to the end, I will welcome any reflections that God places in your heart or any answers to the application. But I pray that God will give us real, real reflections of the end and the signs of the end of times. I'll stop here. My brothers and sisters, you're welcome to reflect.